play-by-play voice for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, studio host for MLB Network, one of the best in the business, Matt Viskerzian, joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs with Jim Cozumel here on 95.7 The Game. Matt, thank you for your time this morning. We knew the Astros story was big, but the fact that we keep talking about it every day and we keep taking the volume of calls with which we're taking, this story is just monstrous. I mean, you're getting ready for the start of the season. Just take me through your process with all of this hanging over Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it surprised me too, guys. Good morning. I thought that it would at least tamper down a little bit. I think the league was hopeful that it would have gone away by now. The Astros were certainly hopeful it would have gone away by now. But I feel like with every statement, whether it's coming from an owner or a player, with every question, with every tweet from somebody not in baseball, and I know that LeBron James' tweet got a lot of run yesterday, it feels like it's getting worse, which is not what they want. I mean, they want the focus on the field. Look, the whole reason that the Astros brought in Dusty Baker is to take everybody's eyes off the ball. I mean, you couldn't have chosen a better human to start something fresh than Dusty. Mm. And, you know, when the questions get rough and people keep wanting to ask about players wearing buzzers and zappers, Dusty can walk into the room rather and say, hey, have I ever told you guys a story about when I went fishing with Hank Aaron? And everybody forgets about it. And this is the idea. And Dusty would charm everybody off the narrative. It's sure. Not happening. And we have our first Sunday Night Baseball game, opening day, March 26th, is the Angels and the Astros. And I've been thinking about how to get my head around presenting all this. I mean, you can do it factually. I have my thoughts about it, certainly. But from an editorial standpoint, doing the game is not the place to weigh in with what the announcer thinks necessarily. Not to mention I'd probably be fired. So I think I'm going to go low-key on that.
I understood, Matt. Matt, when you think about this whole ordeal and you think about the commissioner, if he would have said, you know what, this is going to be an Astros, they did not win the World Series, do you think guys would then change the way the game is? Like, would they come out then and try to throw at these guys? Would it make guys feel better, and would it help make the game safer, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think, and I absolutely hear what you're saying, Zoe, about guys getting thrown at. I don't think that's going to happen as regularly as people are guessing it may, because it's going to be an immediate ejection. Everybody's going to be on warning before the game even starts. If there's something that looks fishy, you're out of the game. There are going to be a few Mavericks, I think, that try to do that and take that chance, but I don't think it's going to be a regular occurrence. The complexity about it is this: if the commissioner had not offered immunity and gone out about the interviewing in a different manner, he still may have gotten information. He still may have gotten to the quote-unquote truth of the matter. But even if that had been the case, to prosecute and come after the players would involve the Players Association, and that takes it into a whole different direction. 2 years shy of a new collective bargaining agreement needing to be negotiated, with kind of some wonky rhetoric coming from the players' union to begin with, and a leadership group that I personally am a little unsure about there. If you start coming after the players and coming after their money, say they wanted to fine and suspend Bregman and Altuve, and somehow award the World Series trophy differently, either asterisk it or take it away or something like that. Then you get agents and Players Association people involved. You're changing the legacies of players. You're changing their income potential. You're not only fining them, and that, you know, there's nothing that they could have proven that they wore wires with, other than the anecdotal stuff that we all saw that John Boy guy on Twitter put together, which was brilliant, by the way. It was a slippery slope, and the commissioner's office was damned if they do, damned if they didn't, and now nobody's happy, which is unfortunate, because it really was, he was backed into a corner, and I think he did the best he could, but people somehow still aren't satisfied.
Hey, Matt, how's Mike Fiers viewed by the baseball community in all this?
It's a good question. You know, this is now clearly more than a Mike Fiers story, and I think the level of hand-wringing around the league on this has calmed down some of his detractors. I spoke to Mike personally about this after the Athletic story, a couple of months after it had all kind of calmed down, when he was kicking the tires on doing a like a public kind of mea culpa before the A's went to FanFest. The thought was maybe, you know, there should be a statement made nationally, and maybe he was going to come on MLB Network and do it. He was thinking about it. His line, and I believe him 100%, was this. He didn't want people to get fired. He wasn't looking for, you know, all this national headline. He wanted it to stop. He wanted the practice to stop.
Sure.
His careers were being affected. And I believe him on that one. So I think Mike Fiers will go down kind of as a character in the saga. Like, you know, for people that like scandal stories, if you go back to Watergate, you think about, you know, what role did G. Gordon Liddy play? And he'd be a character in the drama, but he is not the story, not by a long shot.
Understood. Well said. If you look at baseball numbers, Mike seemed to be dropping, all the different things surround it. I know it got over the steroid era, and it's still those Sammy Sosa, McGuire seem like people say that they saved baseball. Can you see this saving baseball? Because baseball's already, numbers are dropped. Can you see this unfortunate thing saving baseball because now more eyes, more impressions maybe on the game?
Well, if you're one of the people that believes that there's no such thing as bad publicity, then that is absolutely your view. And I don't think I go all in to that degree, but I will say this. When baseball is trending on your Yahoo homepage, and not just, you know, when you click the sports tab, when baseball's being discussed in the morning on Good Morning America, in the middle of the NFL postseason, as it was, as it continued to be through January, when there's really very little baseball news and everybody's worried about the Super Bowl and the national championship game in the NCAA football world, that's not a bad thing to have baseball top of the fold, as they used to say in the old newspaper days. So, yeah, there's a degree of that I do believe.
Play-by-play voice for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, studio host, MLB Network, Matt Vasgersian with Joe, Lowe, and Coase here on 95.7 The Game. How widespread do you think this style or close-to style of cheating do you think has infected Major League Baseball? There's the theory that a reason a lot of guys aren't speaking out is because perhaps they were trying something similar. Is this an isolated incident with the Astros, or do you think there are more teams out there that may have been guilty of something similar?
Yeah, this is just a completely personal guess. I got no information on this at all. But I do not think anybody was as sophisticated and cheating. We're not even going to say bending the rules here. We're going to choose our words carefully. Cheating and gaming the system the way the Astros were. This was a systemic thing. You know, there was a whole lot that went into orchestrating, placing cameras, and then getting that information to the players in real time. And that's where it started with hand claps. But, you know, they want to know firmness. They want to know velocity. Is it firm or not? Because you can't have a set of signals for five pitches. So firm or not. Hand clap. Didn't work. It was too loud. Garbage can bang. Okay, worked for a whole year. And then maybe it got as crazy and Star Wars-y as guys wearing buzzers or wires or devices. That's never going to be proven until unless somebody comes out of the woodwork and says, hey, yeah, I was the guy that taped the thing onto him. You know, the same way the guy that deflated the footballs in New England finally came forward. In the absence of somebody like that, there's nothing you can prove here. The burden of proof is massive when you make an accusation like that. And that's why the commissioner's office had to kind of back away from that. And fans are upset. I get it. But when you really think about what's provable and what you can win, that was a tough one.
Matt, it's interesting because there are fans, baseball fans, and then there are the specific Astros fans we've been kicking around. How do they feel at this point? So I'm going to localize that for you, and I'm going to go back 31 years when young Matt Vasgersian, A's fan, is just absolutely loving his Oakland A's and the Bash Brothers and their run to the World Series championship, and they beat the Giants. What if you were to find out that Tony La Russa had a system where he had a guy sitting in center field and he had his binoculars and he'd wave a white towel every time the Bash Brothers were up for a fastball, and if it wasn't waving, they knew it was a breaking pitch. And you found that out 10, 15 years, a little bit later. As a fan, how would you feel about your team, the Oakland Athletics?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, and that's a really great question. I would have loved the A's regardless. My enthusiasm for it may have taken a hit. I would have had to concede to my Giants-loving friends with whom I argued constantly growing up around here that, okay, maybe that World Series domination wasn't what it appeared, but I still would have liked my team. I still would have liked my guys, my players, the guys that I grew up rooting for and the guys that I supported. It just would have kind of, the enthusiasm would have waned a bit. And I think that's probably where a lot of Astros fans are. There are a lot of indignant Astros fans, and I know there's been a lot of anecdotal writing about this, who just don't care if their team did anything wrong. They delivered the first ever World Series championship in franchise history. Mike Fiers is a villain. Rob Manfred is a villain. Like, they don't care. But I think most fans are reasonable enough to understand that they did something wrong, and that while it's still their favorite team, maybe we need to just back off a little bit.
Matt, before we let you go, I want to play some audio for you. This is Alex Bregman on Pardon My Take, the very popular podcast last fall. Take a listen.
I like all of them, honestly. I kind of like the way that the game has always policed itself. I think that if you do some stupid stuff on the field, either you or one of your teammates is going to get hit for how you react. And I kind of like that. I kind of like how that those rules.
I have a feeling this year he might not be liking those rules as much. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Oh man, I do remember the context of that sound, and that was when Alex, I believe, that was when he carried his bat up the first baseline after a homer. And I think he did so after someone on another team had done the same thing. I want to say that was the context. In any case, he was talking about kind of the chest thumping element. And Major League Baseball has their campaign, let the boys play, let the kids play, meaning it's okay when you turn your cap backwards, and guys can go crazy, untuck your uniforms after a homer. And I agree, let the guys play. I think that's what he was responding to, and he was talking about if any of that gets out of control, then the checks and balances of baseball is that a guy gets one, in the shins the next day. I am positive he did not consider what the Astros were up to from an I spy nefarious standpoint when he made those statements. And boy, thank you, Internet, for keeping everything that anyone's ever said, and now he's going to have to answer to that.
There you have it. He's the play-by-play voice for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. You can also check him out on the MLB Network, Matt Mascursion with Joe Lowe and Coase on 95.7 The Game. Matt, it's always a pleasure. We know you're busy. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Good talking to you guys.